Well, when we had the Pirates guest on, I felt like he was guessing at most of the names. All right. You don't have to do that. So when you look at the base, the foundation of the Phillies, where are they foundationally as a team to start this spring training?
Yeah, no, you're right. For a team that, you know, finished under 500 last year and missed the playoffs in an expanded field, they have a pretty settled roster. You know, they brought the band back, so to speak, and their wager here is that they are a better team than they were in a very short sample size last year. That 60 games was not real revealing of a whole lot, other than that their bullpen was atrocious and it really wrecked their season. So they've tried to build a little bit better bullpen. They've tried to add some pitching depth that they know they're going to need as pitchers try to get back to throwing a full season's worth of innings. But really what they did was, you know, their two biggest offseason expenditures were to bring back JT Realmuto and DD Gregorius, and you know, they feel like they've returned kind of the core of their team, and now it's just a matter of being a better overall roster, being deeper and stronger, especially in their pitching staff. And time will tell if they've succeeded in doing that. But they like where they stand, and, you know, really, you know, health, barring any health issues in spring training, they are probably 22 or 23 roster spots of the 26 are basically accounted for.
That's amazing. When you look at a guy like Bryce Harper, where does he need to be better? Look, I know there's the pressure of the contract, but there's a reason he got the contract. So when you watch him on an everyday basis, then the days he's right, what is he doing compared to what he's not doing?
It's a great question, Steve. And look, I'm someone who believes he's had two really good years for the Phillies. I have a hard time looking at his body of work these last 2 years and finding a lot of fault with it. It feels a little nitpicky almost, given what he's been able to do. I think if there was anything you point to, it's the consistency. You know, look, he had a stretch last year from, you know, the first game of the season, I would say for about the first month or so, where he carried that offense. I mean, he was having as good a stretch as he's ever had in his career. And then he really went through kind of a rough patch. We now know that he was dealing with a back injury that he was playing through that had limited him. That happens during the year, especially when you play as hard as he does. You know, he doesn't really sort of, you know, he's got one speed. And so guys like that do tend to get banged up during the course of the year. I would just say that, look, you know, over the course of the 2 years, you say when he's right and when he's good, he's one of those guys who can carry an offense at the plate. And when he's not, he needs help around him. You'd like a little bit more consistency, but really, I mean, honestly, you know, I think they would take what he's done the last couple of years and they'd sign up for that second and take it again and for the next 10 years.
So we take a guy that is a superstar in the game, and you need your superstars to perform well to win. But then you have other people that, when they play well, they're a reason why you win. To me, one of those guys to me is DD Gregorius. How important was it, in your opinion, that they got him back on the roster?
I think it was important for a few reasons. Like, he's a left-handed hitter, and without him, you know, their lineup would tilt very much to the right. I mean, Harper is a left-handed hitter, but really, when you look at Alec Bohm, Rhys Hoskins, JT Realmuto, Andrew McCutchen, all right-handed hitters. Gene Segura, right-handed hitter. So they needed another left-handed hitter in the lineup. I think Gregorius' defense is better than the metrics show. You know, he's probably not where he was a few years ago with the Yankees prior to his elbow surgery. But, you know, the metrics were not kind to him last year. I watched, you know, the large majority of their games, and I didn't find that he was a liability defensively. Now he's 31, and so I don't think his defense is going to get better at this point. It's probably going to erode a little bit, but I think he still plays a good enough shortstop. What's interesting to me is they looked around before they re-signed him. They looked really hard at Andrelton Simmons, who is on the free agent market. He wound up signing a one-year deal with the Twins. Simmons is not as good an all-around player as Gregorius, but his defense is considerably better. And it tells you the Phillies do have some concerns about their overall defense. They were not a very good defensive team last year. And so while I just said his defense, Gregorius' defense, to me is not a problem, there are better defensive shortstops out there, and they looked at one in Simmons. Ultimately, he went somewhere else. They decided to sign Didi Gregorius to a two-year deal, and I think for a couple of years they still have a very, very good shortstop on both sides of the ball, and a guy who maybe can be the bridge that they're looking for to Bryson Stott, who's their top prospect and their first-round pick 2 years ago, and a guy that they're hoping in 2022, 2023 can be their everyday guy there.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I saw Stott. And when I was in broadcasting State College Williamsport games, fabulous-looking prospect, no getting around it.
And the other thing I should note about Gregorius is, Joe Girardi knows him very well, was with him with the Yankees, and the one thing you hear, the one thing we miss with the virus and not being able to be in the clubhouse every day is seeing some of that interaction. But what you hear from players, what you hear from Girardi, is that Gregorius is just a good clubhouse guy and someone that, you know, is important to have around. He's a winning player. He's been to the playoffs before. I think the more Phillies players that have been to the playoffs before, you know, this is a team that hasn't been there in 9 years. And so you've got homegrown players like Lease Hoskins and Aaron Nola who've been around and they're established, but they don't know what that's all about. I think you need guys like Gregorius who know what it takes to get there and can show them, you know, can kind of be leaders in that way.
How does the five-man rotation set up?
Well, the top three are easy. It's Nola, Wheeler, and Zach Eflin. Right. That's 1-2-3. And, again, something would have to happen in spring training for them to not start the first three games of the season. After that, you're going to have some competition. Matt Moore and Chase Anderson are veteran guys who came in on major league contracts, who have the opportunity here to win the fourth and fifth starter jobs. I would say they're probably the two favorites at this point. Vince Velasquez, also a veteran guy, has been here for a few years, is in the mix. I think he also has experience pitching out of the bullpen, so they could look at him as a potential swingman, guy who can give them some starts, give them some innings out of the bullpen. The real X factor in all of this is Spencer Howard. You know, we know how touted he is. We know how highly they think of him. He also pitched 24 innings last year, and he's had shoulder issues the last 2 years. So they're going to be careful with him. They're going to monitor him. They know that they want him to pitch important innings this year. They just don't know exactly how many innings he's going to be able to pitch. So I don't think they're putting they're certainly not going to tell us that they're putting a hard cap on him at 100 innings or whatever it is. But look, honestly, you know, he had injury issues the year before. He didn't pitch much last year because of injuries and the pandemic. So realistically, if he could give them 100 innings, I think they'd take that. And, the other thing, too, is that they haven't come right out and said that they're going to use a six-man rotation at points this year. But I've been told that that's something they've talked about internally. And, you know, the reason being, as I said earlier, you know, you're trying to condition pitchers back to a full season's worth of innings after they pitched a third of a season last year. So it's possible you're going to need six guys in a rotation a few times through to kind of keep guys from being overworked or whatnot. And I think the more arms you can have, the better. So, you know, I think Moore and Anderson might have the inside track right from opening day on spots 4 and 5, but you're going to need Velasquez. You're going to need Howard. I think you're going to need Ivan Nova, who they signed to a minor league deal. You're going to need as many of these guys as you can to kind of get through the season.
It's interesting you talked about getting through the season. Also, something's going to happen, Scott, that hasn't happened in, 18 months? Because they couldn't reach an agreement because of the linkage between the playoffs and the DH, you're going to have pitchers hitting that they haven't hit in 18 months. How do you view that?
Well, I mean, look, I think I've talked to a few pitchers about it, and I think they're a little bit, you know, a little bit concerned, understandably. There's enough to worry about in terms of staying healthy from you know, keeping your arm healthy standpoint. Now you put having to hit back into the mix. None of them have hit in the last year plus. You're going to have, you know, oblique injuries. You're going to have issues that come up with just a swing or a guy trying to run the bases when he hasn't run the bases in over a year. So I think that there are some pitchers who think that, you know, it's a bit of a health concern. You know, there's also the issue of, you know, I think most people think that in the next CBA, there's going to be a universal DH. So they could be doing this again and doing it only for one more year. So I think it's a thorny issue. I think it's a little problematic. I think that you know, I'm not there yet where I'm ready to say for sure that they're not going to have the DH in the National League. I mean, I think that there's still time for the, you know, for baseball and for the Players Association to work some things out, whether it's a universal DH, expanded playoffs. Last year, expanded playoffs happened on the day before the season started. So they could go almost right up until the end. I don't think it looks great for it to happen, but, you know, there's always the possibility that, you know, they could look at this and go, what are we doing? This is a health issue. We don't want pitchers to have to do this unnecessarily. Let's put the DH in.
I felt in recent years that the trickiest part of any ball club is that 6th, 7th, 8th inning, the guys that pitch in there, because I think you're always hoping to get hit lightning in a bottle where a couple guys have that, quote, career year. So who do you look at in those roles in that Philly bullpen, Scott, that you think have a shot to give them something there that can make them better?
Well, the two guys who, you know are locks are Archie Bradley and Hector Neris. So I'll leave them out of it because, you know, they both have track records to some degree as late inning guys. Say what you want about Neris, but I mean, he has closed for them, and he has had really good stretches for them. I know he's not the most consistent guy in the world, and sometimes he puts guys on base and it makes it look harder than it is, and gives people a little bit of you know, heart palpitations there. But he's done it, so I'm going to leave the two of them out. I'm going to say that they're relative certainties. You kind of know what you've got. You know, I think that there are other guys. Connor Brogdon is a name that I'm going to be looking at a lot in spring training. He had a really good finish to last season, but he's still a rookie, and he's still a guy who's kind of light on experience. You know, is he more the guy that you got in September when he was lights out, or the guy who struggled when he came to the big leagues the first time in August and had to go back to the alternate site? You know, Brogdon, Jojo Romero falls into that category of a young guy with potential who had his moments last year. You know, if they can give you the better version of themselves, then all of a sudden you're looking at two guys who could be key pieces to the bullpen. And I'm also looking at, you know, guys, they've signed a few guys to minor league deals. Brandon Kinsler, Tony Watson today agreed to a minor league deal.
Okay.
Hector Rondon, who've had, you know, track records in the big leagues, who are going to have a chance to make the team as non-roster invitees. You know, Kinsler had a really good year last year with the Marlins. There's a guy who I think could come in and pitch the 7th or 8th inning for you and do a nice job. So, you know, whether those guys emerge and win spots in the bullpen, you know, I've described the Phillies bullpen as kind of a land of opportunity this spring, and I think that there's going to be a chance for a lot of different guys, younger guys, more experienced guys, to win some of those seats in that bullpen.
Tony Watson started his career in State College professionally.
Right.
Oh, okay. In fact, first outing there at Williamsport, 5 2/3 no hit innings. I thought, this guy's going to
shot. Is that right?
Yeah. First time out. Then, of course, they had to take him out because there's only X amount of pitches you can throw at this level.
So, of course.
Scott, always a pleasure. Really appreciate the time you give us.
You bet, Steve. Anytime.